listeners, what's up? I'd like to apologize in advance for, again, being all up in your left ear, and apologize anew for the fucking buzz that we can't get rid of from stupid mixing board on stupid table in stupid condo in stupid Southern California. Little different tonight. Instead of being me and Scully, it's me and Hot Stuff and Riff, like it's a Thursday or something, because Scully's in on a vision quest.
Are you going to... And maybe Thursday will be...
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Could be a Scully show.
Yeah. We're turning things on their heads. We're turning things clockwise, 180 degrees. It doesn't really matter if it's clockwise or counterclockwise.
It could even be perpendicular to the plane of the clock, for all that matter.
Perpendicular to the plane of the clock? No, it couldn't.
Sure, it could.
No, it couldn't.
Sure, it could.
That would be flipping it backwards. That would be if we wanted the people in the dark version of the world to hear our shows.
Well, I'm just
envisioning... Plus, wouldn't that only be 90 degrees?
No. I'm envisioning it a point on the clock. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Yeah, you could turn it 180 degrees by flipping the clock over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
To some extent.
There's only one axis on which you could flip it. Perpendicular.
Yeah.
To flip it and change it 180 degrees.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is
this is math imagination
yeah.
hour.
Math for nerds.
Yeah. Yep.
We have a special segment on lasers later that Hot Stuff's going to present. He did some research about lasers.
I did.
During Comic-Con. Learned a lot of... He read some stuff about lasers and did some field work.
I did.
Got right up in there on the laser research.
He was He was figuratively balls deep in that laser research.
I can describe a really cool project.
Yeah.
To use lasers to transmit sound. It's gonna be cool.
Do you think it's cool?
I actually really do think it's cool.
I'm not sure that I think it's that cool.
It's
interesting. I wouldn't go as far as
it's like making your own fiber optic without needing a fiber optic.
Okay. So it's like radio, only it won't go through a coffee cup.
Yeah, it's line of sight, you know.
It's cool.
It could go through a transparent coffee cup. Okay, so you didn't think it was cool, and then I described the I wasn't talking to you about it. So the cool thing about this, which I didn't tell you about, is you've got the laser transmitting the sound. You can take like a comb and you can scratch through the sound. Like you're scratching a record, kind of. It's
not really like you're scratching a record.
It's
so the setup that
record.
We saw at this laser booth was that Hot Stuff was talking about is you basically go plug your iPod into this thing that's like just hooked up to the power supply of a laser pointer with a capacitor, which I guess acts as just a low-pass filter.
Yeah.
So then it modulates the power of the laser pointer with whatever the output into your headphones is, and then it's shining onto a photocell across the booth that is hooked up to a speaker. So you're basically just turning the music into laser.
Yeah, into light.
And then you're listening to lasers.
You're decoding the light on the other end. It's just like... It's as if a wire was being used to connect the headphone jack to, like, speakers in your ear, but the laser's acting as the wire, which that's cool. And it
Do you suppose that Laser from American Gladiators ever had a guest spot on The Wire?
Ah, that's a good question.
Mm.
Because in that case, Laser would also be acting on The Wire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a guy named Laser on American Gladiators? I'm just assuming there was a guy named Laser.
Was it a guy or was it a girl?
A girl named Laser? I don't know. You always assume that Storm of Pollen Storm was one of the guys from American Gladiators.
That's
was
true.
That you?
Yeah. That was me. That was not me.
We went to Wootstock.
Yep. 2.4.
What was Wootstock? Was that from the... Based on... Thrown by the website?
I thought so, but no.
Wootstock has nothing to do with Woot.
Yeah, it's Will Wheaton and Adam Savage and Pollen Storm. Basically, we're like, hey, we should start putting on shows.
Yeah.
And then every nerd is like, yeah, we're going to go and be all woo, and for 5 hours, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, we were at the venue for 6 hours.
We got hassled because we didn't have the sense to lie about our pocket knives.
Yeah.
Fucking jack-off securities. But luckily, one of the performers was under 21, and she had to wait outside and be escorted in by security from behind the building to perform her set, and one of the guys that we were with knew her, and so she held our pocket knives for us.
Yeah, she kept on her car during the show.
Yeah. So it was like, there was some comedy. Chris Hardwick did a stand-up comedy routine, and there was a magician, and there was...
Yeah, it was a really wide assortment of
there was an astronomer whose entire act was showing us pictures of, like, nebulas that look like dicks.
Like cock and balls.
Well, that's kind of awesome.
Get behind that.
There was Marianne Call performed, which I thought she was pretty cool because she plays a typewriter. You thought that was pretentious and annoying.
I didn't think it was pretentious and annoying. I mean, Mr. Skullhead thought it was pretentious and annoying.
We had the whole gamut of
yeah.
reactions because I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you thought it was pretty cool. There was also a guy who spoke about like his experience with comic books and like sort of his mother getting cancer when he was a kid and like just sort of like the kind of like. Sort of intersection of art and observer.
What was his name?
I don't remember. His name was like a word that meant something.
Yeah,
like his
Alex
name was Alex Laser.
Laser, yeah, something
it was
like that.
Jed Falcon or something like.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But
maybe with a Q.
I think it started with an F or maybe an L.
Flash.
Maybe it was Falcon Laser. It was Laser Falcon.
Alex? Does Alex sound right?
No, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Anyway, he's a comic book
writer. Yeah.
Or drawer.
He wrote comics.
He was a drawer. He was a comic
drawer. He wrote
drawer.
Scripts for comics, I believe.
Do you think he keeps his comics in his drawers?
It's possible.
Of his dresser or his trousers?
These are all possibilities.
This
is all Woodstock still. We're still talking about Woodstock. And we're going to go on about it for a long time because we're going to give you a sense of what the show is like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last song that Paul and Storm played lasted like 25 minutes because they just kept...
25 was just the last update. I think it lasted over 30.
30? Yeah. They were, you know, singing a song that was actually like maybe 15 seconds long, but then they would just stop and like fuck around and make jokes about which... Every time somebody would say something, somebody else would say, that's the name of my ex-cover band, and then they would look to the drummer from the Presidents of the United States of America to see if he gave them a rim shot, and then they would go back and forth about whether their jokes deserved rim shots.
Yeah, it was a little...
Some of them were funny.
Masturbatory.
It was a little masturbatory. If it had not been... If we were not, like, hoping to get out of there in time to go to the MC Frontalot show,
right.
And it... having been like this long drawn out thing between hour 4.5 and hour 5 of the show, I probably would have been a lot more likely to enjoy it. They were kind of drunk, I think.
If I had also not just spent the entire day working really hard at Comic-Con, that would have helped.
Hot Stuff earned his paycheck this week.
God, fucking Comic-Con, man.
Work, 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 don't sleep. Work, 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 don't sleep. That was what Hot Stuff did all weekend.
Yep.
There were occasional pew, 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 pew.
Pew.
Lasers.
Yeah.
We went to Woodstock. We didn't get to do a whole lot of crazy shit.
You were on the Adam Carolla podcast.
Yeah, I got to do that Adam Carolla thing, which was pretty cool. I think they were running low on guests, and they scraped the bottom of the barrel, and then that didn't work, so they turned the bottom of the barrel over and scraped the bottom of the bottom of the barrel.
And your segment was. I didn't listen to the beginning segments, but your segment was way better than the one right before it.
Yeah, I think there only
so
ended
much,
up being like three segments.
So much funnier.
I don't know.
I think you were the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm assuming that Aisha Tyler was funny because she's cool. Yeah. I was hoping that she would be standing around so I could be like, hey, Archer, thumbs up.
Yeah.
And that was all I needed to say, you know. And then she would maybe want to make out with me. Because why wouldn't you?
That's true.
Because
anytime someone says thumbs up, I totally want to make out with them.
Didn't yet another year without any of us getting to make out with Felicia Day.
Although, there were efforts made on the asymmetric, on part of the asymmetric team.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know how that plan is of dubious design.
Yeah.
It involved watching a lot of The Legend of Neil,
which is,
that's not a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I want to say this about The Legend of Neil. It doesn't have to be terrible. It's pretty terrible, but it doesn't have to be terrible. There is a lot of really funny stuff in between all of the just ridiculous, needlessly vulgar, just like, oh, look, I just jacked off into some shit.
Yeah.
You know, which there's like occasional, you know, I'm not saying that there's no place in the world for jacking off into shit, because that the Shit and Wank Demon animation by Joel Veitch is pretty good. That rather good animation. I liked it. Scully hated it.
I don't remember it.
You're indifferent.
Yeah.
Our opinions always run the gamut. Hey, guess what has three balls and gets to tour Blizzard headquarters tomorrow?
Oh, fucking A.
Me and Hot Stuff.
What happened to one of your balls?
That's weird.
I am fucking super psyched about that. My friend who works at Blizzard was like.
We were talking about going up to some like midnight launch because he was doing he's one of the people signing copies of StarCraft at like a Fry's in Anaheim. And
In Irvine.
Oh. Yeah. And you know, we were talking about doing that, like driving up tonight after the show and just doing it, you know, just to go like say hi and you know, because I've never been to a midnight game launch. You know, it's probably just waiting in line with a bunch of nerds, which you'd think we would have gotten, we would have had enough opportunities to do that here. But then, so Hotstuff emailed him or texted him today. And was like, "Hey, how should we do this?" And he was like, "I don't know. You just come to HQ." He was talking about like, if you want to just drive up here right now, I'll give you a tour and you can buy StarCraft 2 and get it signed. We couldn't do it today.
Really? HQ? We can.
He said, or you can go stand in line at Fry's, and that's like, oh, you know, would you like this gum that I chewed yesterday, or would you like this, you know, priceless Ming vase? Like, yeah.
So apparently, we're going to Blizzard HQ tomorrow.
Damn, I'm up for that.
We'll have to see. Mine only have two. They have to like give our names to the guardhouse. We'll see. I'm assuming that it'll be cool.
Yeah,
but I can't promise anything, Riff. We might have to smuggle you in the trunk, dress you as an orc, and whenever an employee walks by, just pretend to be a big statue. Maybe you'd be a better dwarf.
Yeah, probably.
Although orcs have beards, a lot of orc beards.
That is true.
Did we see any orcs at Comic-Con?
I did not personally.
I think I saw some Draenei. I think I saw some elves.
There were definitely elves of indeterminate origin. Lots of people with long ears and sort of funky hair, but the number of people at Comic-Con who are in some kind of costume, which I can only assume is a character from something that I just don't know anything about, is very, very high.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if there is anybody who has enough breadth of knowledge to be able to identify everybody that was a referenced character and not something like just randomly, you know, created.
I don't know. Do you think there's anybody that knows everything about every anime, even?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like that, it's not really possible to be a Renaissance man in the modern world, right? Because, like,
it's not really possible to go to a Renaissance fair.
Is it because you get, like, halfway there, and you still have, you've traveled a certain distance, and then you have to go half of that distance.
Is it because Renaissance fairs aren't actually about the Renaissance? It's a different period of time.
What period of time are Renaissance fairs actually?
Present day, I think, is when they occur. I mean, because they definitely, like, those turkey legs were cooked recently, right? I carbon dated them, and they're all like, you know, this is like a month old. So, it's...
They cooked it like a month ago?
Yeah.
And you're eating it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's smoked, you know.
You're smoking it now.
Yes.
You know, I think this might explain some of your weird drug experiences.
Some of my irrational behavior. Yeah, I was sitting out on the porch, smoking a cigar, which, you know, given the number of rock stars that were in this apartment, I wouldn't be surprised if my cigars got randomly laced with powerful drugs, but the I was sitting on the porch smoking, like I because Hot Stuff does all the legwork here, and I just got to sleep in every day. I like go out drinking and then sleep as late as I wanted and hang out at the apartment by myself, just kick my feet up, smoke a cigar. I was working on the tavern revamp.
That's true. You were working on the game. Yeah. And I was just working on
you were working the Gherkin.
Yeah.
It is the one complaint that I have about Comic-Con is that it is very difficult to find any privacy in which to masturbate.
Really? That's
your
one
find,
complaint.
You didn't find that?
I didn't find that.
My one weakness.
Found you inside that Pikachu costume.
I did kind of get excited about the idea of making a costume that is that no kill eye alien from the early Star Trek,
and actually etching messages to people in the floor with acid.
Yeah, well, no, well, so that, I mean, like that was our sort of like genesis of it. But then you just get like pre-made sort of messages that you sort of lay out on the carpet that looked like burned,
right, on a transparency.
Yeah, like yeah, exactly. Look like burns in the carpet.
I don't know that. Do you think anyone would recognize that? I think it would also have to be very large.
It would be really large.
Or you'd have to be crawling, which would really suck.
Yeah. But it would be no larger than some of the like people that were like just letting people tape stuff to them, or right. I guess there was only one dude, but
letting people tape stuff to them.
Were you not around?
Yeah, that guy, he was there again this year. The dude that just dresses up as a giant pile of flyers and garbage and invites people to tape their flyers and garbage to him.
And by the end of the show, he is fucking huge. Because it's just, you know, tens of pounds of flyers.
It's a lot of exercise.
Yeah, probably.
Hauling that shit around.
It's kind of, I mean, it looks really neat by the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Saw a lot of slave Leias. I didn't see a lot of slave Leias. You know what I saw a lot of this year that I don't remember seeing a lot of in previous years? Is a lot of, like, asses.
Yeah.
Just a lot of, like, really serious thongs with asses hanging out of them.
Yeah.
Saw some speedo. There was a couple of guys dressed as the ambiguously gay duo, which was pretty funny. And every time anybody asked them to pose for a picture, they would, like, touch their cod pieces together. Like, it was a pretty good...
Is that from something?
Yeah, it was a Robert Smigel cartoon from Saturday Night Live in like the 90s.
Oh wow, I don't remember that at all.
It was like just a bunch of gay jokes. I mean, all of their like, you know, their special moves, or they team up and like destroy all the bad guys by like, you know, just like 69ing and rolling around in a ball.
Okay.
You know, like their car was like a giant cock and balls.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I only saw one Ron Burgundy, and realizing that the con is in San Diego, I feel like that should just be a sort of a natural choice of things to stay classy about.
Yep, we were told to stay classy after turning the idea that person who wrote into the Twitter had, that I had somehow turned a perfectly calm and nice conversation about into a bunch of prison rape jokes. That is, it was not me that turned it into prison rape jokes. Like,
your culture is just prison.
You brought
rape
up
jokes.
The asshole. You were the first person to bring up the
But Frontalot set it up. He had talked about getting raped.
Sure.
Carolla talked about... Where do you think you get raped in prison?
The showers?
The showers. Yeah. Oh, man. There was that dude that came up, and he picked up the Choose Your Own Adventure and flipped through it, and he was like, I don't even know where to begin. And I said, I'd suggest Section 1. And he just walked off without saying anything. He was kind of a smug dude, so I was like, you know what? Cool. I just beat that guy at his own smugness game. There's a lot of people there are a lot of people at Comic-Con.
Yes.
That it is difficult to out-smug.
How so?
Smug dudes. A lot of smug nerds. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while you get one of those like, oh, I see what you did there. Stick figure, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
And way out-populating them, though.
Oh, super awesome people. Like,
are people... No, but also people that have never heard of the game or seen it or whatever, who get really excited by the sort of visual aesthetic of the game, you know, and like are genuine about it and not in a hipster, ironic sense.
So, what did you guys see at Comic-Con that was cool? Anything?
I saw Uwe Boll, the director, whose name is unpronounceable, hug a dude.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They were,
some dude in particular, or...?
I think it was just a random dude. They were standing there chatting about Uwe's movies.
Uwe's movies?
Yeah, and
hugged
the guy, and the guy looked kind of surprised, but took it with grace.
Cool. I thought maybe that was a panel discussion. It was like, in Hall C at 6 p.m., Uwe Boll hugs a guy.
Yep.
Did you see anything? Just the inside of the booth?
I left the
inside
booth
of that Pikachu costume?
Yeah, I left the booth for a total of 6 hours over the course of Comic-Con.
Nice.
And that, like, most of that was to get a nap on one day, because I was just having a really hard time getting any actual sleep.
And then when you went to stand in line to sign up for next year's booth, because I guess we're continuing to pour a bunch of money into this black hole.
Yeah.
Black hole.
Yeah. I think, you know, we could do it a lot cheaper than we do.
We probably could. It wouldn't be as comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's already bordering on unbearably uncomfortable, I feel like, for you. In terms of, like, doing the amount of work that you actually have to do.
Yeah, if we had two or three of me, I think everybody else could just stay home.
Dang.
Well, no, in terms of, like...
In terms of the actual amount of work that has to be done, right? I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody else works half as hard as you. So, we could cut the number of those in half.
Exactly.
They multiplied their hours. I just don't like to do anything. I don't like to be in the booth, because I don't like it when somebody will come up and be all like, hey, who's responsible for all this? And then everyone in the booth will just turn around and point at me. And I'm like, I don't want to get pointed at. I don't wear a mask.
You don't take pride in people being excited about you. Hey, we got to meet Warren Spector.
We did get to meet Warren Spector. That was pretty exciting. He was really nice.
Yeah. He gave us epic Mickey pins.
Yeah, we got epic Mickey pins. He slipped us an epic Mickey Finn. And then he got real nice. I was like, wow, you're so great, Warren. Yeah, wow. I just kind of would like, we'll just hang out. I'll do whatever you want. That's what I said.
Cool.
After being slipped the epic Mickey Finn. Just to bring the joke back around in case I went on so long that people forgot what we were talking about.
Yes. Warren Spector's wife was really excited about our game. She thought it was really awesome.
What other stuff has he done other than that and Deus Ex?
Deus Ex and System Shock.
System Shock, right. Okay.
He kind of pioneered the whole RPG first-person shooter thing. Hmm. Kind of. So, yeah, he's definitely important in the history of video game manufacture.
Oh, he also co-wrote Tune with Greg Costigan.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
I should have said that. I played a lot of Tune in high school, and then Deus Ex was awesome, and I had no idea that it was the same guy, but, like, totally same guy is awesome.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
He is awesome. And I'm glad that I got to shake his hand and say hi.
Yep. You know, we didn't, like, go for drinks with him or anything.
That is true. Yeah, there are a large number of people we did not go out to drinks with.
That's true. Like, billions.
But, like, people that we could have potentially, like, Adam Carolla didn't invite us out for drinks.
That's true.
Mike Nelson. We did not go out for drinks with Mike Nelson. Who else did we not go out for drinks with?
Paz went out for drinks with the entire cast of The Guild, except for Felicia Day.
Except for Felicia Day, which is kind of funny.
It is funny.
Yeah.
She's just avoiding him. She's playing hard to get.
She is. It's
What did you see anything cool? No, you were in the booth.
I really didn't. Like, I guess the only thing that I kind of thought was really neat that I had not seen was the Beastlies girl.
Oh, who made the little Sculpey
stuff.
Sculptures and then cooked them in a toaster and sold them to people.
Yeah, and like, so that it's apparently based on some webcomic. I have not read the webcomic. I don't know if it's cool or not. But the little figures are really neat, and the photography, the art of it, the artistry of it is really cool.
The artifice.
Yeah, so that, like, you know, I can't really recommend the webcomic to people, but, okay, so then also
you don't think it's bad, you just can't recommend it.
Yeah, I
don't know whether it's good or not.
And the fact that she was making these, like, one-of-a-kind, unique sculptures, and then selling them for $20. Like, I think of that as a steal. I don't know.
I think if they're good, but, I mean, you know, a lot of people make stuff that nobody will pay $20 for, right? So, like...
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
they're
cool. We're accustomed to, you know, we know people whose art is worth significant money, right?
Sure.
I mean, we know a lot of people who are good enough at making arts that it's like, it means something that they made this, and you know, somebody will buy it for a lot of money, but...
I think it's possible that you buy a couple of those, and they will distinctly appreciate in value.
Do you think?
I think it's possible, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Like, maybe she gets famous?
Yeah, because...
It's weird, I mean, it depends on how quickly she can do them, right, you know?
But it takes about an hour to make, like, the small ones.
$20 an hour. Can you possibly make back the cost of the booth at $20 an hour minus the cost of Sculpey? Sculpey is expensive.
But she was also selling other stuff like cards and like, printouts of particular webcomics and stuff.
Oh, and crack. Rocks of crack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's that.
Sideline. Which she also used the toaster for.
Right.
She wanted to borrow our toaster, and I was like, I'm afraid that next time I eat a piece of toast,
it'll be covered in
dusting of crack.
Oh, right.
And I'll freak the fuck out. I'll be like, why does it taste like Sculpey? What the fuck? That's what happens when you smoke crack. You make a noise like that.
And everything tastes like Sculpey?
Yeah, it makes everything taste like Sculpey. It's awesome. Sculpey. Yeah, I fucked up and didn't. Larry Martyr has apparently written a third volume of Bean World comics,
which I forgot to get it signed.
Which I'm like, it was funny. The pretentious artist's wife went and bought it and had Frank Martyr autograph it to Casserole. Their cat.
Their cat.
It's pretty funny. She always gets stuff signed to Casserole.
That's great, actually.
What else? They sold Fuzzyballs sold some stuff to Alia Shawat,
Yeah. She seemed pretty excited about their stuff. And was apparently very nice.
Yeah. And good looking, they say.
She was maybe on Arrested Development and...
Yeah, we're not sure.
And then she was also in Whip It. She was like...
Is that Whip It, like that roller derby movie?
Yes.
Not Whip It, like the movie about hippie crack?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I liked quite a bit. That I cannot recommend to everybody because I don't know if they're... And I like Ellen Page.
Watching a girl
Drew
punch
Barrymore
each other.
Movies. But it was funny, you know, and...
I can imagine enjoying watching Ellen Page punch Alia Shawat.
I don't think she does.
Fuck. Do they make out?
No.
Because that would be cool, too. I would definitely watch that. Yeah. I would definitely watch a movie about that.
Yeah. No, I mean, the cast was pretty good. I keep forgetting the name of the woman that I said was cool in that you said, oh, yeah, I really liked her in Knocked Up. And I was like, she was in that movie? She was the other executive.
Kristen Wiig?
Yes.
Yeah.
And apparently she made some movie recently that was terrible.
Huh.
So, I don't know. But I liked her sort of, like, dry... Sardonic.
You know what I've heard about Kirsten Schaal?
No.
She's a horse.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
We heard a joke about horses.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah. Maybe you didn't hear
it. I didn't, maybe.
Dana told us a joke last night at the bar. Her favorite joke is a horse walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Why the long face?" The horse says, "I have AIDS."
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
They saw a billboard that said, "If you can't stand the heat, Coors Light."
Coors Light. Yeah.
Which was funny, and then Riff went on to make up a lot of
we've made more of them. You can lead a horse to water, Coors Light. I hope that this is something. I hope that this is what they're actually planning to do, and have the entire campaign of that.
I don't think so. You think
it's just the kitchen one? If you can't stand the heat, Coors Light. That would be sad. That would be a huge missed opportunity for a really clever ad campaign.
Yeah, no, but I think this is why if at some point we all find ourselves out of work, we just
become advertisers.
Yeah,
we sell our souls.
We sell out our morality, and we just become advertisers. And
that there's a fair chance that would have happened to me if I hadn't got this job right out of graphic design school.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you'd be good at it.
Or package design or something like that.
I feel like we would all be pretty good at it, and we could sort of get a small little, you know, graphic design, not graphic design, but we could get a small advertising shop up, and I think we'd be successful.
We got to hang out with Clackling a good bit.
Yeah.
Who is now doing some community management stuff for Gazillion.
Yeah.
Who are apparently not.
They have a 10-year deal with.
Yeah, they have a Marvel license, and they're releasing like. I don't actually know how much of this we're allowed to talk about.
Oh yeah, I guess
they were exhibiting like a kids MMO.
Yeah.
That's like Marvel Superhero Squad Online that everybody had really positive things to say about.
Yeah, but it is not out yet.
Like, it's not. I don't know if we're allowed to say when it's coming out or what the model of it is. So I'm just not going to say anything about it.
Gazillion.
Except it seemed like, you know, I didn't see it, but it seems like, you know.
Gazillion bought NetDevil, which is making the Lego.
I thought NetDevil was making Lego Universe Online. I didn't.
Aren't they still making it?
I thought that you had said that your buddy who worked for NetDevil, they were working
on.
He left
NetDevil.
But the project did not leave.
Yes.
Okay.
He left NetDevil because he was not happy with the way that they were going with quests.
You know, it looks fucking awesome.
It looks great now. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was relatively early on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like it's a thing that I'm going to play a ton of, but I feel like it's a thing that I will buy it and play it. Apparently, I mean, they were just handing out beta keys willy-nilly.
Yeah. We have beta keys for it.
Yeah. I got a T-shirt here somewhere.
Maybe we should give some of those away. Do we still have? Do we still have like a pile of them, or did
I don't know how many we have spare.
Huh.
I have to go around the
folks that you know.
The folks that I know that are going to want one.
When does that come out? Like it's pretty soon,
October.
Right? It's like in October.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, it would still be like I gotta imagine some listeners would still be excited about if we had a couple we could give away.
Maybe they can tell us jokes and the best jokes.
Best or send us a picture of a Lego cock and balls and the best Lego cock and balls.
Huh.
We're trying to figure out ways to get past their moderation by like, you know, this is a box, but then it opens and it has a cock and balls in it. It's like a transformer.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can make things that have hinges and stuff, because I bet you could make something that like you could make something that would get past the sensors, but you could turn it into
that, like
a cock and balls. Yeah, like
oh,
a transforming cock and balls.
Freaking cool, yeah.
You know, it's like a bunny. And you go and you go like, hey kids, come look at my bunny.
Look at my dick. Yeah, they were talking about, we talked to a fair number of people who worked at Lego who had, in the early stages, collaborated with NetDevil on like, sort of basic ideas and stuff like that. And they're talking about, like, the early implementations of the game had a really hard time with rendering because they were rendering every brick, whether or not you could see it. And so, like the interiors of all these structures would be rendered for no reason, but, like, so it would, like, slow down the computers a lot. And then when they're like, well, we'll just get rid of those bricks, all of the things collapsed because they're, like, physics-based. So they had to, I don't know what they've figured out to do about that.
Who was this? When were you talking to these people?
Just people that would come by our booth and were, like, excited about KOL who were, like, who worked at Lego on various things.
I didn't hear that story until just now.
And they were excited that our sign was, because we have a sign at our display that is
running on Mindstorms.
Yeah,
running on empty.
It's holding out.
It is. It would probably be fine for another year. I want to make another one though.
Yeah,
I want to make a new one.
I think that'd be fun.
I got an idea.
Cool. We blew through a lot of AA batteries.
Yeah, Jesus. I fucking wish that there was a way to plug those Mindstorms control boxes into AC power.
Yeah, and I asked there's just the guy, and there is not.
Yeah.
They do not have any...
I mean, what you could maybe...
They're Next controllers.
Yeah.
And they don't... Any NXT.
Yeah.
And
okay, I thought you were saying their Next controllers have AC adapters. It's aggravating. You know, it seems like a deliberately wasteful design. What I wonder is if we couldn't just fake something. You know, if we, like, got a 6-volt DC adapter, a 9-volt DC adapter, and just wired...
Yeah.
You know, just like, I wouldn't want to solder it, but, like...
Is it... The interior connections and battery compartments are always just...
Just metal.
Just putting things in series, so we just need to connect it to the two ends.
One on either end.
Huh.
I mean, that would
be worth it.
Probably work, yeah. And I mean, because, I mean, we probably spend $40 a year just on batteries. Yeah. And it's not... I don't care about the $40... It's wasteful. It's like, you know, how many batteries am I single-handedly responsible for putting in landfills? You know, like a lot.
Right.
Like a lot. Yeah. Also, I just constantly have this giant dildo in and running. So
that was perhaps the definition of TMI.
Yeah.
You know?
Could that be the source of the frequency hum?
It could be. It could be the source of the low frequency hum. We'll see if it. I go through about like 4 AA's every hour and a half. So we'll see when I take them out to change it.
Well, and when you take them out, is it kind of like just pooping batteries?
Pooping batteries. Yeah, that's awesome. I got arrested for pooping battery. So I just kept like barging into outhouses with a sledgehammer.
What was the? I can't remember. I don't want to script the joke. You made a funny joke earlier about the military.
Oh, I had to go see a doctor about this dishonorable discharge.
Yeah. That was pretty fine.
Let me see.
Are we going to answer some questions?
Yeah, we'll get Twitter questions first.
All right.
Who I think is... I think is maybe Clackling. As if we had a good time at SDCC. I'm not positive that that's him.
Earlier, Dr. Dick said, I've stolen a lot of item codes from Ed ASM.
Distribute that is definitely him. Cool.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That kid who dressed as the Sword and Martini guy was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The office troll wrote, I've been cutting down hedges. I think the hedge maze monsters are underpowered. Yeah. Asked me to go give Sin Sage a Kingdom of Loathing shirt, and I looked up who Sin Sage is, and it's just some, like, girl-on-girl spanking website star. She's apparently a star of stage and film.
Huh.
Screen and stage spanking.
Weird.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna go. I don't understand why there are porn stars at Comic-Con.
I don't either.
Yeah,
it's weird.
That either.
And I don't understand, like, the whole booth babe thing, really, it's really kind of starting to creep me out, because, like, if you don't go to Comic-Con to look at boobs, then it's just kind of like, ugh, God, You know, like, you're just here making the crowd slow down.
Right.
And if you do go to Comic-Con like to look accident. At boobs, you're kind of a creep.
A woefully inefficient creep.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, just... it's... If you want a hot girl to pretend to like you, like, go to a strip club. Right? Don't, like...
I also sort of... It's sad to me that, like... These booths are some of these booths are staffed by people who just have nothing to do with whatever project
is. Just have no idea.
You know, yeah. if they were like hot girls who were involved in the creation of whatever it is, then that's great. You know.
Yeah.
Or at least we're familiar with it. You know.
Yeah. I mean, we would not like. I'm not going to say that we don't think. Oh, you know, we get a better response to our booth if there are girls in it.
Yes.
Right. And so we're like, oh, all right, we're going to do that. But it's not like when we're considering who is going to work the booth, we think, all right, who are the girls who know about the game,
yeah.
right? And then that's how it works, right? It's not like, okay, who are the girls, and then put them in the booth, right?
Right.
Like, I almost feel like if we had girls in, like, bikinis, that would be off-putting.
Yeah, no, I think it totally would.
You know?
It would, I mean, in our booth in particular, it would just not jive at all, because yeah. it's such a, like, a homegrown kind of feel to it, like,
yep.
having anything flashy.
I mean, you know, and we like boobs as much as the next guys.
Yeah.
And lasers.
Yep.
We like boobs as much as the next lasers.
Well, laser boobs.
Yeah. Xtancic wrote, hey guys in Rift, do you have enough content built up? Trader items, paintings, item of the month yet, so you can start working on finishing the seat?
I'm a guy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I think
Clackling said something really funny.
Addressed to Dick and Scully.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Clackling said something really funny at dinner one night, where we were sitting with MC Frontalon and his lady friend, who asked Clackling, "So do you work for these guys?" And he was like, "No, I work for a video game company." We were like, "Oh!" And he didn't, you know, he wasn't. He was not trying to frame that in an insulting way, but
that's funny.
We did not let him live it down. That's funny, Xtancic. We don't even have the next item of the month. We have not even thought for a minute about what the next item of the month is. There are no paintings.
26th.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah, it is right now.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know why I thought it was the middle of the month. This month was like...
evaporated.
Yeah, it fell into a time hole. We should figure out what the item of the month is going to be.
You could do that on the air at some point.
There are still a handful
Would that be an interesting show? Where we kind of broadcast a
brainstorming session about the
meeting?
Item of the month. I don't know. I would want to censor myself, I think, to a certain extent.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't know.
I think broadcasting it live would be a bad idea. Maybe recording one and saying, like, oh, by the way, this was what we were talking about, you know, our conversation about the item of the month. I mean, there is nothing in those conversations that I am, like... that I would not want to be public knowledge, unless it's a thing where, like, oh, in the course of this, we had an idea that we'll use later.
Yeah, we definitely come up with a bunch of stuff that, like, ends up working into other content.
You know, but when it's things like, you know, how long has it been since we did a piece of gear in this slot or whatever, you know, that's not
interesting.
You know. It's not, like, I feel like maybe people would be surprised that we do spend a few minutes thinking about, like, all right, is anybody going to buy this?
Yeah, is it relevant at all?
Yeah, like, and so... And it's not... I'm not going to say that we ever...
I don't think people assume that we don't take that into consideration, right? Like, I mean, they know that, like, in order for us to be able to keep providing the game, we have to keep generating revenue, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's not... I don't think they'd begrudge us that.
No, but I mean, I think it would be something for somebody who wanted to criticize us and didn't care about being accurate in a broader context. It would be something for them to latch onto, right?
Sure.
I mean, but it's not like we wouldn't. It's not like we wouldn't discuss those motivations in public anyway. I mean, fuck knows I don't filter myself even a little bit about anything, you know, except for like political stuff. Actually, the only times that I like won't talk about stuff. You know, like, when the whole Radio KOL shakeup, like, years ago, right? Like, I was just like, you know what? Because like, a lot of people were calling in, or a lot of people were writing and saying, like, hey, what happened? Why did you do this? And I was like, you know, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want... There's no benefit in exposing the real reasons for this. Just trust me that from where I was standing, it was the right thing to do. You know, and I hate doing that. And but
yeah,
I feel like defaming people that I know is the limit, maybe to my sort of the extent to which I will be totally honest.
Is slander verbal libel, or is
it, I don't know.
Do
I don't
it's
remember.
Backwards. One of them is written, and one of them is.
Yeah, but maybe libel is written.
Libel is liable to be written.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Slander. Slylandro. Calumny. Libel for written. Libel is written. Slander is for transitory statements. Or calumny or vilification. Calumny. Libel, slander.
I was thinking slander, Slylandro.
Oh,
it's difficult to say.
Slander, Slylandro. No, it's not. You just suck at talking.
I just suck at talking, man.
You suck a taco, man. Suck it to me, man.
Cyber 34 says that if you want to be able to play Sam and Max without downloading 16 files, you should have just gotten them on Steam.
I don't think they existed on Steam when I started doing it. Also, the latest season is very different from the previous ones. Improved visuals and new gameplay mechanics.
Is that a phone?
Yeah, God.
What's happening?
I don't know. Some obnoxious ringtone.
Oh, okay.
We
do have like about 55 people staying in this two-bedroom condo.
It's thinned out a lot, but it's still there's a lot of piles.
People had to sleep in shifts or not at all.
Yeah. I wore a pretty nice shift when I was sleeping.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a red one or a blue one? Were you coming or going?
Oh. I saw a girl wearing a red and blue shift. I couldn't tell whether she was coming or going. So, yeah. Made a funny joke there, Riff. I didn't go over to the Telltale booth. I intended to. We were hoping that Jake Video Games Rodkin would be there.
Lycra went over and asked, and she said he was not.
And then Lycra yelled about him being a pussy. She freaked them out. That was what happened. Yeah.
Wow,
that pussy! That's and they were funny. All aghast. And I think she gave them some Choose Your Own Adventures.
Okay.
Pretty pleased with the way the Choose Your Own Adventure came out this year.
I think next year we're going to change the cover for the first time.
I think we are going to change the cover for the first time. Have it put free on it.
Yeah.
Free yourself from the horrors
and
of
like,
the prison
I think
of the tower.
I think maybe not have just a giant sword martini.
Yeah, sorry to say this now after 5 years, but I was never super fond of the cover.
Well, you could have mentioned that earlier.
I did, I think. But then everybody was like, "There, you guys were all, fuck you, we do what we want."
Yeah, that's how it goes here.
It's my sexy body. I do what I want with it. And Gleaves is excited about Beavis and Butthead coming back. I'm pretty excited about Beavis and Butthead coming back, too. It will mark a return of fucking music videos to
MTV. Are they going to do it the same format?
Believe they are.
Huh.
I only care about the music videos. Like, I would probably sit and watch that for hours. You know something else that I like? Pop-up video.
I like pop-up
video. I really enjoyed pop-up video. You know, it's like...
It's kind of like riff tracks for videos.
Yeah. They were typically fairly cleverly written, and, you know... Who knows? Oh, that was more of a VH1 thing than an MTV.
It's something that you could do illicitly on the
YouTube. On
the
YouTube.
Pretty readily. Okay, so that's actually something that's kind of interesting. Could you, just like Riff Tracks, could you do some sort of like transparent GIF that played with the right timing sequence over a particularly sized window and distribute that?
I don't know.
Right? Oh. Because that'd be like a sort of interesting overlay thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That'd be funny, though, if you're pointing at stuff. You know, because even... Blind Date was kind of funny sometimes because of that.
Blind Date.
Yeah, Blind Date was like a reality show.
Oh, okay.
Right, where they're just, you know, people go on dates or whatever. All
right.
I feel like at some point I talked to someone who was on Blind Date or, like...
Did you go on a blind date?
No, I don't think I've ever been on a blind date.
Have you ever dated someone that's blind?
No. Be handy, though.
Have you ever...
I could be like, yeah, I look like Brad Pitt.
Have you ever...
And I'm not masturbating right now.
Oh! What's that sound, then? I'm, shuffling a deck of lunch meat.
kind of vibrator stuck up in my head.
Yeah. Shuffling a deck of lunch meat. That's my new like a euphemism.
Sorry, so that's my new ex-cover band.
Yep, libel is written, slander is verbal, says Gleebs. I learned that in college.
Oh, I wonder how.
And then I remembered it fondly while I was...
They did a funny thing at Woodstock where they had, and maybe people are familiar with these, but you know how William Shatner did the like spoken word covers of songs? They did some with George Takei, but he would just recite the lyrics of songs that had the word fire in them until he got to the word fire, at which point he would say fire, and then there would be a bunch of laser noises, and then it would end. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Especially when he got to just, it was very short, it's chestnuts roasting on an open fire! Laser noises, that's it.
That's the whole song.
Yep. I don't really want to add any fuel to this meme, but what the fuck is up with double rainbows?
Yeah, it is just not funny, yeah. And I don't...
I must have totally avoided this one so
good,
far.
Good, good. Yeah. Let's just keep it that way.
It is absolutely not worth investigating.
Yeah. And maybe we should just not even bring it up anymore.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Like, some of the stuff they did with it at Woodstock was kind of funny, but like... You know, anything. You can make anything funny if you're funny, right?
That is
like
true.
That's, and so it's. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, we know people who are like, "Oh God, it's so funny," and I'm like, "No, it's not. It's just, it's like, just kind of embarrassing and like." Memes.
Yep.
All right, radio busboy questions.
Catatonic Monkey says, July is almost over and the Jackass Plumber still hasn't been fixed. Question mark.
Yeah, Christ.
Are the repairmen taking a really long coffee break?
Yeah.
It is entirely possible that game will just be broken in the homage to the game that is always broken in the arcade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it would be awesome if we got around to it, but I think it is.
We had a concept for it, but it was kind of sketchy. And we're not sure if it's actually entertaining.
In the last meeting, we talked about it, and we talked about being able to do some animation tricks that would make it a little more comprehensible. Yeah, I don't know. Lee Popsicle One says, he points out an inconsistency in the...
Already fixed.
Oh, you fixed it. It was just a syllable count wrong, right?
Yeah. Cool. I fixed that after I read the question.
I realized that... I don't think that I've been paying any attention at all to the syllable counts on items that I've spindled recently.
Sure I look at it, but I don't count every time.
I kind of wish that that thing didn't fit. Like, it's
didn't
clever. The thing that Zeno wrote that tries to automatically figure out how many syllables are in it, and the fact that it's usually right is clever.
But it
gives me a false sense of security. Yeah. And if there was nothing in that field, I would notice it and fill it out.
Right.
You know. But it, yeah. That's it. Anyway, sorry for issues like that that you see.
But pointing them out, we can get them.
Totally worth doing. Cloud Stripe says, read all the Scott Pilgrim books, now I can't wait for them to screw up the movie. So somebody went to a screening of it.
That was me.
you saw him.
No, I didn't go to a screening. But I told the story about the guy who went to the screening.
Tell the story on the radio.
I was standing in line for to get my copy of Volume 6 signed, and there was a guy I was standing next to for a brief while the bent in half U-shaped line while we were standing next to each other in this situation, and this dude had gotten into the screening of it here, and I asked him what he thought about Michael Cera as Scott, and he said the dude thought that Cera had actually done quite a good job, and that I forget exactly how he put it, but that the dialogue is very, very snappy and rapid fire, and Cera is like right in there. He's not gloomy and wussy the way
he usually is.
He's got the spark, and he holds it together. He said the character is not exactly the way the character is in the book, but
I can't even imagine an actor that would fit that role.
Yeah.
So
it would just have to be some unknown. I mean, they would have to just like.
So he thought it was pretty awesome, and I asked, I can't think of Scott Pilgrim author's name.
Brian Lee O'Malley.
Yes, I asked him what he thought of. Gosh, you guys are on the ball, and I'm not.
Apparently, he's a Korean dude.
Yeah.
Who knew that?
The O'Malley really threw me there.
O'Malley, the Korean-Canadian.
Yeah.
Of course.
Clan.
I asked him what he thought about the video game, and he said he had just played the latest build this morning, and it's friggin' awesome.
Do they have it playable? I did not go look at or play a single video game the entire time I was at Comic-Con.
No, me neither. I went and played the big HD version of the new Puzzle Quest for, like, one fight.
Oh, yeah?
And got my ass beat.
I don't know that I'm going to pick it back up. You know,
you
it's
keep
like,
saying that, and then you pick it back up.
Well, I've done that once for a single sitting. It's like if I you know what else I got? I got the I got that Castlevania puzzle game for the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that's good.
I feel like it would be better on an iPad. I'm not going to buy an iPad for it. It might also be better on the new iPhone, which I'll get as soon as I go home, just because it would be a little more responsive. There is just a fucking lot going on in the game. There's so many mechanics, and it's really...
Like Mike.
Yeah. It's... I don't know. I like the idea of it, but I'm also like, well, you know, this is like hundreds of hours of gameplay, right? And
wow.
I don't know that the core thing is fun enough for hundreds of hours of gameplay. I have almost no... I'm really bad with, like, spatial stuff, which is why it's really hard for me to play puzzle games like this that require a lot. Like, I'm really good at Tetris, but it is really hard for me to look forward in time to understand, like, how the chain reactions are going to happen.
Right.
I can do them two at a time very readily,
in
you know?
Tetris or in...
Oh, in Tetris, there's no such thing, right? Like,
not chain reaction.
I'm saying in Puzzle Quest, the way that works, you know, something like Bejeweled or something like... Because I think... I want to say that the Castlevania puzzle thing is just Puzzle Fighter. That, like, sort of matching... Although, no, it's not exactly
it's slightly
Puzzle
different
Fighter.
Mechanics,
you get three things together. I also can never remember... So, like, there are colored blocks that fall down, and then there are inactive colored blocks that fall down. And I can never remember from moment to moment which one is which. Like, I will look at this thing, and I'll be like, oh, that's an active white and an inactive purple, but it's actually an inactive white and an active purple. And so I just am constantly fucking up because I just can't remember what color anything is from moment to moment.
I wonder if your visual color deficiency affects your ability to remember colors.
Maybe. I don't know.
What they mean.
I can never remember the names of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, like...
Fuchsia.
Group.
C, yeah. Bread. What color is the sky today? Bread. Bread sky at morning? Sailor make toast. Bread sky at night. Damn it, what's a bread joke Hoagie. That rhymes with ite? Yeah. Sandwiches.
Ite.
Flat Luigi says, why don't the star items give miscellaneous recipes? We just didn't.
They're not part of that same
system.
Yeah,
they don't work the way that the other stuff that is in that system works.
We talked about that. We were like, we're not going to retrofit all the...
Yeah.
Miscellaneous stuff.
Just be
there.
A pain in the ass. I mean, because there's not really... I can't imagine a way to do the star and line stuff without the chart.
Right.
Unless there was like a dude that you went and saw to do it, but, you know, I like it the way that
we
it
could,
is.
We could bring back the astronomers that got destroyed by the...
Comet.
The astronomers in the observatory, not the...
Yeah, sorry. I couldn't think of the word observatory.
You know what I couldn't think of the other day was the name of the guy Leonardo DiCaprio, and then for a long time it just didn't... I was like, that... Because I kept thinking, trying to figure out, like, what the fuck was the name of the guy who was the lead actor in Inception, and then I was like, I think it's definitely Leo something, but Leonardo, it's D something, I think it's DiCaprio, but it just didn't register. It was like, no, that can't be right. And then I looked it up and I was like, what the fuck?
Huh.
Like, what is going on in my brain that just made that, it is like completely dissociated the words Leonardo DiCaprio from Leonardo DiCaprio. And now, I mean, I've said it so many times now that it just doesn't mean anything. You ever notice how if you say Leonardo, if you just chant Leonardo DiCaprio's name over and over again while you're masturbating, it just doesn't,
he stopped
it,
having
it just doesn't even sound like a name anymore. Yeah. I don't know. It's back. Now I'm like, oh yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. He was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah. He was really good in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah. I wish Inception didn't have the problems that it had.
We shouldn't talk about it because some people have not seen it.
Sure. Yeah.
But it is worth seeing.
It is a good movie. It is a good movie, and I'm really glad that I saw it. But what I don't like is that for there, and you know, the overthinking guys mentioned this too. The same way that I wish that Inception had been slightly better, I wish the Overthinking It podcast about Inception had been slightly better.
About their podcast.
There was a tremendous amount of really clumsy exposition. And it just
bothered you a lot.
Yeah, it bothered me a lot. It always does. Like purely expository speeches in movies always drive me nuts, which is why, like, you know, okay, subtle spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Serenity. The reason that I didn't like Serenity and the reason that I tell people I wish I hadn't watched Serenity is that it's like, for the first half, it's a bunch of clumsy exposition, and for the second half, it's everybody you like getting killed. And, like, fuck. You know? What it felt like was mostly harmless. It felt like Joss Whedon giving me the finger. That is what Serenity felt like to me.
Huh.
Yep. Did you hear they're hiring somebody to rape Douglas Adams' corpse?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Again?
Yeah. The estate is, apparently has hired somebody who writes like Douglas Adams to write more Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books. Basically, they're just selling a bunch of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fanfic.
A different guy?
Oh, is there a different guy?
There's already been one out we've talked about.
Oh, has there?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't remember that at all.
Huh. It was a while ago.
Maybe it was. Wow. Huh. Who knows? Maybe this is one of those Leonardo DiCaprio things where I put it out of my mind.
In fact, it was Leonardo DiCaprio that wrote it.
Oh. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't need to take a break if you guys don't.
I'm okay.
I would, but...
Yeah?
Whatever.
Do you need to pee?
I would just get some refreshment.
Get some refreshment?
Peckish.
You could take a little break if you wanted to.
Yeah.
On your own. You could just leave and we could talk about you while you were gone.
I hate that so much
whenever
that happens.
I really do. But I, you know, I'm like, what I do like is yelling at you, so it's
it's sort of like a win-lose.
Yeah.
Evangeline Q. Who were we? We were talking to somebody who was talking to Evangeline Q the other day. Somebody picked up a Comic-Con code for him or something.
Yes.
Like a friend of his. Somebody who was a friend of his in real life.
Right? It was, Benno.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good story.
Yes, it was.
I hope listeners enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed telling it.
We got to hang out with someone that we had met at Max FunCon briefly.
Yeah.
And they had some friends that were cool.
Yeah.
And started playing KOL.
We discovered a secret bar in the back of a different bar.
Yeah, that is
which
so
Hot Stuff
awesome.
Is, Hot Stuff is really excited
I'm
about.
I'm totally going there.
You get super excited. Like, I think it's kind
bars.
Of a cool idea, but you get really excited about it.
Yeah, no, they're awesome.
There are very few things for which I perceive your enthusiasm as being nigh unto boundless, and bars inside other bars.
No, normally, like, this one is just, like, normally it's like bars inside of restaurants or something like that. Like it seems like it's, or like...
Do you think that there is a third level doors. Bar?
I don't know.
There is a door in the back of that bar that just leads onto a fucking Russian tundra where there's a heavily guarded military installation.
Yeah. I really don't know, dude. It's just cool. Also, their, like, system for getting, like, tables and stuff.
Oh, man. It is way more nerd-friendly. It is way more...
Holy crap.
It is way more, like, awkward nerd-friendly than most of this. So, the other... Like, the one hidden restaurant or whatever that I know about in New York, you, like, go into this phone booth inside a hot dog restaurant, and you pick up the phone and talk to somebody and see, like, you know, whatever. I would hate that. That would make me really nervous. But this one, you just text and say, hey, room for three? Or whatever.
Yeah,
and then they say, yes.
Yeah, I've got three people. When could I come at the earliest or whatever? Or, like, I want to come in on Sunday. What time can I come?
So pretty cool.
Which I think
Hotstuff, he was a dirty exploiter. He followed somebody else in and ran into the hostess.
No. That was not it at all. I was waiting for the bathroom because one of the bathrooms was out of order, and like saw somebody go in. I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
And then talked to this girl came up and was waiting for the bathroom too because now there was only one bathroom. And I was like, "Did you know that that's a secret door?" She's like, grabbed my hand. She's like, "Let's go in." And went in, and she, like, knew the hostess, and they started talking, and she introduced me. So.
I didn't know that's how that worked.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you got in via your suave smoothness.
Yeah. Girls like to hold my hand.
That's
what
cool.
Can I say?
Yeah, they do. So the door to that bar is pretty cool. It just looks like a big pile of kegs.
Yeah.
Swings open.
I have been there half a dozen times and just always assumed it was a wall.
When I saw it, I was like, it was one of those things where I was like, did I get really drunk here last year and find out that this happened? Because I got some deja vu, and it was one of those like, oh right, the last time I got super high, I remembered that I discovered this awesome thing that I forgot about, and now that I'm here again and super high, I've discovered it again. You know, like you get that like sort of weird state dependent memory cue.
No. I don't know.
I felt like that was happening when I was like, I'd also forgotten. It had been a long time since I went to a party where, like, a boy-girl party. And so, it is.
You're going to have to back up because
no,
I don't know what
okay.
you're talking about.
So, the you were talking about the men's room was out of order.
Yes.
And so there was a line. There was a co-ed line for a single bathroom.
Yes.
And there is something weird about being in line for the bathroom that makes it, like, totally okay to just talk to strangers. More so than, like, just what... Like, you could not just, like, walk up to a girl at a party that you didn't know and start talking to her, but if you are in line behind a girl that
you don't know... If you're in an elevator, you can talk to people because you're having the shared experience of being in an elevator.
Like, but if you're at a party, you have the shared experience of being at a party, if you're, you know...
That's too general. It has to be something more specific than that.
I mean... You know,
and you can use the fact that you're at a party. Like, how do you know so and so?
Usually, like, me and girls at bars have the shared experience of being kind of uncomfortable about the way in which I'm groping them.
And yourself.
Why are you uncomfortable about that?
It's kind of pervy. I wish I could stop. The pills make the voices go away, but I miss them. So then I always have to go back out and grope again. If you let me out, I'll grope again. That's what my note said. Note I wrote to the people who are going to let me out. Gone off the deep end, you guys.
Wow. I really wanted to help you out there. But
I know, but there was no help in it.
So you said Evangeline Q, but then you didn't actually read anything.
Yeah, cool. I think I might have read it last week. Whatever. So, pardon the bluntness, but what were you thinking with the high-level skills and making them so prohibitively expensive? Are you trying to encourage meat farming? I'm trying to encourage the expenditure of resources, which is what a video game is about, right? They're not prohibitively expensive. Like, you know, mall stores aren't prohibitively expensive. Everybody who wants one has one, you know, and they're way more. They're not way more. They're kind of
more
than this. They're more.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really not a big deal. Like, there are a handful of people who are like, oh, what the fuck, you made something more expensive, but I really think that's just change aversion, and, you know, the fact that, like, yes, I can understand being the guy who is pissed off that I bought a bunch of skills yesterday, and then today they were a lot cheaper, you know? And then, but starting to talk about, like, instituting a system of refunding people based on the logs of what skills they already had, like, no, man, that is not how...
Wow,
you
really?
Don't get to... Yeah, which was, like...
I'm glad that, to some extent, I ignore threads after they get to be, like, 4 or 5 pages long, and I haven't heard anything new.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because I just, maybe that's, unprofessional of me, but it just, I get so tired of this sort of reading the same argument over and over again, or whatever.
And I like seeing new people come in.
To the discussion?
To the discussion. Yeah, even if they're bringing up similar points, I mean, it's often nice to see multiple perspectives.
But after the thread gets to be 4 or 5 pages, I feel like the number of new people who are going to come in is very few.
That's probably true.
Maybe I'm wrong. I have this aversion towards super long threads because I don't want to read all the...
But you also read, like, every thread. You may, like, right?
Yeah.
And I don't. I mean, I would say that I even peek my head into 1 out of every 10 threads in gameplay discussion. Like, if there's something that I'm not, I'm just not interested in. I mean, like, I don't peek into the threads where people are asking for advice on, perm order.
I do. I'm kind of curious what advice people give.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't... The order in which you perm skills, I cannot think of a way in which I could use that information to make the game better. You know? Like, I can't think of a way in which, like, knowing that somebody's second run is likely to be this much shorter than their first run, I mean, we know it's shorter.
They're considered useless, and so if we ever wanted to... enhance things, those would be the skills that we would most likely revamp.
Okay. Everything is either useless or overpowered.
No.
By definition. Yeah. No. Let's see.
There are skills that are useful and interesting, you know? Pasta mastery. It's definitely useful. It's not overpowered.
Yeah. Do you think it's interesting? I guess I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yar says, is an arena revamp happening anytime soon? No. That is a thing for which I have not had even a single reasonable idea. So I would not not certainly hold my breath about that. What about Tavern? Yeah, Tavern...
You're like, are you 80% done?
I'm not 80% done. There's no art, which, I mean, that's like a day's work, and there probably hasn't been a solid day's work put in on it so far. Maybe there has. We made some conceptual headway yesterday.
Oh, right, because I realized that hadn't actually been coded. We just talked about
it. Yeah, we talked about how we were going to do some of the stuff that I was stuck on. I mean, I still need to make, like, basically an entirely new zone. So that's going to be a not insignificant amount of writing.
The tavern is going to be very different than it is right now.
It basically becomes another town, kind of.
In terms of the number of locations and stuff.
Yeah. People will laugh if I say I would not be surprised that if it was out within 2 weeks. I mean,
it's possible if your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think it will, because I think that we've crossed over all of I've crossed over all of the boundaries where there is something that has to be done that will cause my enthusiasm to flag. Right, like if I have a handful of good ideas for something, I will work on it and I will be enthusiastic about it until I get to the point where I like, all right, now I have to have some insight and think of something else, have some more ideas before I can continue to work on it. Then I spend a lot of time just like staring at the screen, because it's like, all right, I'm at work, I want to work, I want to work, what do I do, I want to work, what do I do, and then just not getting kind of depressed about, like, I don't know, that always makes me feel depressed. It sucks. Because it just means I feel depressed, like, a lot of the time at work, because I think that you can't, you know, you sort of, like, can't do at least satisfying creative work on demand. And, you know, you figure out, like...
I say that, but I feel like that happens all the time in what we do.
So I don't consider, like, writing jokes to be creative work. I know it is. Wow. No, I know it is. But, like, I can sit down and write item descriptions basically just whenever. Like, there are probably certain times of the day when they'll be funnier. You know, they're like... But I hardly ever... Like, a joke is hardly ever something that, like, comes to me in a flash of insight. Like, a mechanic does. A way of solving some, like, larger design problem is a thing where it is very heavily inspiration-driven, whereas writing a joke in an item description is not. Like, coming up with a narrative arc for an entire quest or whatever, that is, like, there will be some, like, watershed moment where there's some nugget of it becomes clear, right? But, like, more often than not, it's like, okay, what kind of monsters would be in here? This monster, this monster, this monster, and that's just, like, that doesn't feel like it's taxing on the same cognitive resources that, like, thinking about how the new tavern cellar is going to work does.
Right.
Like, I feel like we had a lot of back and forth, a lot of, like, ideas that were posited and then thrown away, and, like, that does not happen with me when I write, for instance, or, like, draw art, you know? That's just, that, like, the writing and the art for me are just work, and not, like, creative. Yeah.
Huh.
The other guys probably approach it differently. Scully can just write and write and write and write and write, and the quality is super consistent. Like, I feel like I can churn out acceptable stuff at, you know, at a reasonable pace, but, like, it is astonishing.
I envy that a lot. Like, when I do some writing for the game, I tend to spend a lot of time on it, and it's, even then, it's not often great. Like, occasionally I'll do something that's funny or whatever, but, yeah.
It's weird. The throwaway stuff is the stuff that people like the most, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that, like, that floaty pebbles description is probably my favorite thing that I've written in you know, a year, and it was just like a single sentence that was a reference to a Fruity Pebbles commercial, and like, yeah, all right. That one actually got comments like, hey, awesome description. I'm like, yeah, cool. And it was just like, all right, Fruity Pebbles, I'm done. Like, and, you know, I think the less time I spend poring over the minutiae of something like that, probably the better it's going to be. I mean, it's at least going to feel more authentic. At least that's what I'd like to believe. Blizzbob says, why does the magical mystery juice come in a bowling pin? Oh, I get it. That's the mystery. It's meant to be like a fancy bottle with a stopper, but and I don't know. I always think, I'm going to draw a bunch more potions, because there's too many potions that share the same graphics, but then I'm like, Fuck. How do you draw more potions? I don't even know. Yeah. It, for whatever reason, drawing like a bottle with a stopper in it, in my style, I'm missing something. I know it's got to be possible to draw a bottle with a stopper in it in my art style, but I cannot, for the life of me, figure out how. I don't know if, like, when I think about a drawing of a bottle with a stopper in it, I think they might be using some weird, like, shading technique that I don't know about, you know, or just, like, some weird thing where they, like it's an actual skilled drawing as opposed to just, you know, like a Ed Emberley style drawing. I read this reference to Ed Emberley, who was this guy who, he is still alive, I think. He's pretty old. He's born in, like, 31 or something, so... Yeah, wow, he's really old. He's older than I thought. Every time I think about, like, somebody who was born in 1950, he's, like, 50. No. No, it's fucking 2010. And what the fuck? Where is my jetpack, and why am I so old? That's what I think. So Ed Emberley was this guy that wrote these drawing books, and I realize now that, like, they were this just, like, super huge influence on the way that KOL's art style turned out, because it was just, like, very, very distinctly 2D drawing stuff, based on, like, really kind of elemental shapes and stuff. And he did it was all step by step, and it was really neat. He did, like, the big purple drawing book and the big green drawing book and then the big orange drawing book.
I had one that the big drawing at the end was how to do a big elaborate dragon or something.
Yeah, they're fucking cool.
I was pointing at Riff to tell him that his mic was getting a little far from his mouth.
I was pointing at Mike to tell him that his riff was getting a little far from his mouth.
Weird.
Yeah. 2101 says, could we have some flavor text when a June Familiar has produced its last item of the day?
Huh. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I could.
Seems like a fair thing to do.
I could imagine having done it that way.
There is nothing that indicates to a player that if what they are doing is seeking those items, that they are no longer going to be getting any unless they keep track.
Yeah, the challenge there, I think, would be in writing something that is unambiguous and still in character.
Yeah. That is true. I mean,
you know, because a lot of the text in the game that is indicating a state change is indicating a state change to someone who just knows that that text indicates that state change, as opposed to explicitly spelling out the state change. Because, as I've said, I hate exposition. You know, you can break the fourth wall sometimes and just write something expository. You know, if you can't come up with anything, that's always like for when I have absolutely no idea of how to express a particular concept, break out those guns. You can't do that very often or it stops being funny. Actually, maybe you can't do it at all or it stops being funny. Maybe I can't write a single word or it stops being funny. Boy, I feel like I've read some of these questions before, but...
Did you do a show between now and...
I don't remember.
Because we didn't do one on Thursday. You didn't. The last show was a week ago.
Yeah.
So we've gotten to the point where these are newer questions.
This is from the 21st. Yeah, I guess these questions are only 5 days old. Okay. You know, I must have read them the other day.
I see.
When I was sitting out smoking, maybe. Should I read this thing from the Van G&Q?
You were talking about politics earlier.
I'm going to. Okay. Van G&Q says, Sanam's clans are widely regarded in the chat channels as being Ponzi schemes meant to rip off newbies who don't know any better, so why allow Sanam's to remain? I don't have a particularly strong impression of them one way or another. What I do know is that when I found out that there was something about, like, you, in order to get, like, administrative permissions in the clan, you had to donate a Mr. Accessory to the clan leader, that struck me as being sleazy. But people who are far more sensitive to that kind of thing, I've discussed it with them, and they say, it doesn't seem sleazy to me. And I am like, oh, okay. You know, It's not the kind of thing where I would ever say, like, hey, I don't think you should do that, because, I mean, it's like, I'm fucking libertarian, like, do whatever you want, right? Like, I can say that, like, in terms of the, like, Ponzi scheme thing, Bank of KOL makes me a little nervous, but I don't really care what happens with it. It makes me nervous.
There's going to be a huge outcry if
that... If something happens, right? If it ever crashes, right? If, you know, like, what if that guy...
Stops playing.
Yeah, stops playing. What if that guy, like, suddenly goes nuts and decides to, like, rip us off or break rules and we disable Bank of KOL? I'm not giving people their meat back. You know?
Yeah.
And
that would be really unpopular.
It would be really unpopular. I mean, and it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous that that exists.
Not FDIC
right?
insured.
It is not, right? Because we cannot vouch for the behavior of people that we don't employ.
This was the underpinnings of you doing the MMG in game, right?
Right. Because we knew that people were going to do it. Yeah.
Like, the first time it went down, like, people were freaking out.
And then a lot of imitators popped up, and a lot of them were untrustworthy.
Yeah.
So, like, you know...
That was just a mess, and we sort of decided to avert it in a way. And we're, like, that's the thing. We're not really happy with that thing being in the game.
Yeah, I don't like
it. Yeah, I hate it. The Bank of KOL, I don't really care about. I mean, I think it is interesting, and it makes me happy. It makes me feel like, you know, the game's economy is an accomplishment...
Because I think that's the thing. Banks in the real world were kind of the same.
Yeah.
Same thing for a long time. Like, there was nothing guaranteeing that you would be able to get your money out.
It makes me feel kind of happy that the KOL economy is robust enough that it can sustain a bank, right?
Right.
A privately run bank. But it is a privately run bank. I mean, we don't know that guy from Adam.
Right.
We do not have your back if you voluntarily send him meat and he rips you off, right? Like, we'll disable him if he starts ripping people off, but that's the same as we would do to anybody. And that's the thing, like, people would be so pissed. People would be so pissed if we disabled him, and it's like, alright, hey, cool, this bank has become too big to fail, like, what could go wrong? You know? And so when I think about Cersonams, I also think about Bank of KOL. Like, I think about all of the sort of large-scale player organizations as being kind of like, you know, also the buff bots or whatever. Like, Cernam's clan, I don't understand clans with thousands of people in them. I just don't get it.
Right.
I mean, I get that we have set up the reward structure of being in clans such that it's efficient to do it that way. You know, you are just strictly speaking better off in terms of gameplay if you're in a clan versus not being in a clan, and so it is natural, like, I think that something like Cernams or KOL Addicts or whatever emerges. The fact that we don't have any limitation on clan sizes makes it so a lot of the things that we might want to do with clans are just trickier to deal with. You know, the VIP key, I feel like that is kind of a clumsy way of doing what we were trying to do, but it's necessary. Because otherwise, you know, we can't have a thing where, all right, when this guy buys this, it is worth 4,000 times as much as when this guy buys it, right? You know, and that's that disparity, the disparity between, like, when I think of what I want clans to be like, and when I think about the typical clan that I'm designing stuff for, I think of it as having, like, 5 to 15 people in it.
But, you know, that's something that's kind of neat, again, is that people approach the game in different ways, and they will play it differently than you expect, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the game that probably was most directly responsible for making me make KOL was Dragon Court that I was playing, and I'm like, God, I wish there was something like this, only better.
Right.
And, you know, so
what
that...
What feature did it have that made you...
Well, it had a clan system, which basically consisted of a single clan with everyone in it that I joined. You know, I went into the forums and it was like, hey, send a message here and we'll let you in this clan. These are the benefits that you get. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a bunch of extra... Like, I could be playing a bunch of extra turns if I just join this clan and I don't have to talk to them if I don't want to. And it's like, you know, I can understand players wanting to do that, right?
Yep.
You know? But it's like, I have no reason not to trust them. Like, I don't know why they're widely regarded in the chat channels as being Ponzi schemes. You know, I don't know if they're widely regarded in the chat channels as being Ponzi schemes. This might just be one dude's opinion. But, like...
Yep.
I don't know. I think Sinem got mad at me last time when I said I didn't like large clans. He was like, why are you being an asshole to me? I'm like, I'm not. You know? I mean,
You're not saying anything about him. You're just saying that you are designing stuff for smaller clans, and having these large clans makes it weird sometimes.
Yeah. You know, and it makes it so we have to do a bunch of weird shit. Like, you know, there are things that interface design or like sort of database interaction design, if we didn't have to worry about there being clans with thousands of people in them, we could do a lot of stuff a lot more quickly and easily and sanely. But we're like, you know, it's time to redesign this clan interface. Oh, fuck. Synapse.
Right.
Right? That is going to be a 10-minute page load if we do that. Someone else writes, so I just managed to beat Kid Icarus, and I have to say, it is one of the most obnoxious NES platformers I've ever played. It's not too difficult, it's just obnoxious. So then I tried the Kid Icarus on the Game Boy, and it seemed like every single little complaint I had about the NES version was addressed in the Game Boy version. Screen can now scroll downwards, enemies can drop health pickups, in addition to money, you can jump while facing upwards, etc. I don't get it, but it kind of makes me wish the original Kid Icarus wasn't so terrible. I still like it, though. I feel like I could probably still play Metroid, although I don't really have the patience for it. Every time I've been like, you know, I only played through Kid Icarus once. I really should play it again. I start playing it, and it is just so fucking hard.
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten past, like, the first level of Kid Icarus.
See, where I always get is to the first, like, sort of dungeon, where you're jumping from room to room in the side-scrolling parts.
Uh-huh. I don't think I've gotten that far. I start, and you're, like, jumping up the upwards.
Yeah, you're moving upwards, yeah. And you never get to the top.
I never get to the top.
Huh. I remember getting really into it for like a weekend when I was a kid and just playing it and beating it, and like, Kid Icarus was the game that taught me to be excited about doors. Like, it was like, oh, this is a video game where there's all these doors, and every time you see a door, you're like, what's in there? I bet it's something awesome. That held through into Rygar. Because Rygar had those, like, doors that looked very similar. I was like, I bet there's something awesome in there. And then you go in, and it's like, nope, it's just some advice that doesn't make any sense because it was translated too poorly. I don't know why, even though The Legend of Zelda was more of a, like, sort of thrill of exploration promoter, I didn't get the same excitement about doors there.
Did you get excited about setting a tree on fire or blowing a hole in a wall?
Yeah, the sound, you know, that little sound was pretty cool. And that was fun. And I was like, ooh, what's in there? The ones in dungeons, maybe not so much, because it was like, ah, this is probably just going to be another shortcut to somewhere else in the dungeon, or it's just going to, you know, an item that I already collected, because I can fucking never remember where I've been in any video game. Yeah, Kid Icarus. I'm curious about it. I didn't know that there was a Game Boy Kid Icarus game.
Yeah,
I'd maybe kind of like to play it. Liker says it's really good. Or maybe she was, I don't know, telling me that my hair looked nice. She just gave me a thumbs up from across the room. My hair does look pretty nice today. Noob says, hey guys, question about critical hits. If I equip a one-handed crossbow in my offhand that weakens opponents on critical hit, and I'm also equipping a main-hand weapon that increases critical hit, how does the game know which item caused the critical hit? Well, in that case, I think you only get... I don't think critical effects trigger if the weapon's in your offhand. I think that we just decided that that was one of the... We didn't want to have to balance on crit effects for the potential of you having two of them happen at once. And so we just decided that only your main weapon triggers critical effects. And also, it doesn't, you know, it wouldn't know. Like, if you're wearing a V-mask and you... Because, like, not every item that has an on-crit effect increases the critical, right? So... It's like... Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I still think that we could change the way that regular attacks work to make dual-wielding make more sense.
What do you mean by that?
To make it so you could dual-wield a ranged and a melee weapon.
Huh.
And just have two to-hit rolls. Divide the bonus damage in half. Because I think we could do that. I mean, I think that we could pretty easily alter the system. So, because the reason we don't do it is because there's a single to-hit roll, right? And so we don't know if you're wielding a muscle and a moxie weapon which of those to use for the to-hit roll. I don't think that there's a problem with Although, you know what the problem is. It's tracking. What doesn't make any sense is if you have a crossbow in your left hand with hot damage and a crossbow in your and a sword in your right hand with cold damage for each of those hits to do half the hot and half the cold damage. So we'd have to... All we would have to do would be to keep track of how much of the hot damage total comes from your main hand weapon and how much of it comes from your offhand weapon, and I don't think that's too hard because we know, we know where we're getting that data. I don't know that it's worth it. What my the one thing that I feel like it would add to do that is it would just make it less confusing. Like we could also make items that used mist to hit. We could make utensils right. Use mist to hit, and that I think would potentially be a cool thing.
I wonder if that would change the game so radically that it would, have unintended consequences or whatever.
I don't know. I don't know to what extent regular attacks are important.
Well, they don't use MP, right? So that...
Yeah.
If you can kill things with those attacks and not take a lot of damage...
Yeah. Maybe somebody will listen to this and say, I could imagine doing that. I could imagine that being, like, a kind of an afternoon revamp, and then, because I feel like it confuses people. Although, I guess the thing that confuses people is, why can I not hit anything with this crossbow, and they're a seal clubber, right? Which, maybe we could do just some kind of tracking in the session, like if you miss with a ranged weapon three times in a row that you just can't hit with, that you have a really low percentage with, the tutorial comes in and says, like, hey, you'd be better off using a melee weapon since your muscle is higher.
And don't you love it every time I come to visit you and tell you something?
Yeah. But the thing is, that's never going to happen to somebody who would bitch about that.
You say that. And I feel like people will want an account option to turn it off.
Yeah, people want an account option to turn everything off. God, I want an account option to turn your mom off. She just won't leave me alone.
You think?
Yeah.
I think it's your vibrating butt.
I think it probably is. It's mesmerizing.
Especially the, 3-year-olds.
Yeah. They laugh when I poop batteries.
Yeah. The, Zlyania sort of was talking about how our moving display sign was just this, weird attention magnet.
Child magnet.
Yeah, for, 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because they would just
see it. That's why I made it!
They would just see it and then just not be able to look at anything else because it was just so fascinating to them.
What's weird is I feel like the same thing displayed on a screen would not register at all. And it's like...
I don't get what it is.
So maybe the reason that I really enjoy things like that... Like, I really like the sort of elaborate beer... What?
You moved your mic, boom, but it did not actually get better.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I really like those beer signs that are like elaborate sort of physical moving things. You know?
Beer signs.
Yeah, like have you ever been at a bar where there was a pool table and above the pool table, like that Budweiser had made these pool lights with like a little electric train set inside them.
Huh, I don't think I have seen those.
And sometimes, you'll see something like that hanging over a bar. And a lot of the times they're broken down. But there's also things like, I don't know how they do this exactly. It might be some kind of lenticular thing, but I feel like there is
lens flare.
A sheet moving behind a picture that has got transparencies such that it will look like a waterfall is flowing,
right.
And something else is moving in some other direction or whatever. And stuff like that is interesting to me. Like, even though it is not as visually striking just as a sequence of images as something that you could do with a computer, it is cool that it is a physical object. And I don't know, I think everybody thinks that Lego sign is cool, right? Like, I've never seen somebody, you see a lot of people just looking at it. I feel like that draws a tremendous amount of attention to
it.
Probably way more than the television with the stuff on it.
Did you,
that's directly above it.
Do you remember that old HBO signal cast thing they had where they had, the big... metallic HBO logo spinning through space, and then you go inside the O, and there's
Yeah.
I saw a documentary on YouTube a few days ago about how that was made, and that HBO logo is a physical object. It's like chrome covered brass.
Huh.
Yeah. They just took the pictures of it, and they had LEDs on a bar that they spun around to make those lights.
Yeah, I loved that.
It's
I
crazy.
Loved that intro.
I don't know that I didn't know what you guys were talking about.
I used to, when I was a kid, I used to whenever that was on, I would, like, run up and put my hands in front of the television right before those lights started going across and pretend to, like, I was, like, powering up from the, from the lights. I mean, it's weird that it was something that was, like, how many, like, forgettable intro sequences have we seen for something like 100 times, and why does that, like, why do we both remember that one?
Yeah.
Like, why, if I had seen a link to, here's a YouTube video about how they made that HBO intro, I'd be like, fuck, I want to watch that.
Well, it's a lot longer than I remembered, because it, I guess it starts with a long pan through, like, this elaborate model city, and I hadn't remembered the city at all. All I remembered was the logo spinning through space.
I think I remember the city, because I remember always having plenty of time to get up to the TV so that I could absorb all the power.
Oh.
it's awesome that was a physical thing, though. I mean, like,
yeah.
And maybe that's... CGI was pretty expensive then.
Search up the video when you get a chance. You'll dig that. The guy, the model builders talk about how there's the all the little details they stuck in, like prostitutes hanging out on the corner of the street, so just they'd fill in little things just to keep themselves from getting bored as they were making this huge elaborate set.
I guess
never seen this before.
Huh. They talked about the main readout on the Enterprise and Engineering in the Next Generation. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there were just so many, like, so many of the people who directed individual episodes would get pissed off at the prop guys because there were so many dumb jokes on that thing that they could never show a close shot of it. And I don't know. I don't remember if I saw any pictures of them or anything, but it was just like a... You're talking about adding little details like that.
That's awesome. Funny.
Nightfall says, any chances of seeing a time-limit-free space trip? Even if you don't try to win, it's impossible to see everything in one game. Of course, there'd be no prizes for this mode. It'd just be for fun. one of the things that I was thinking about having C.D. Moyer do for me was to write a version of the choice script that would let me do a standalone version with the same structure. I mean, I kind of want to do a space trip, too. I also kind of want to do a super meteoid. Like, I kind of want to take...
Super Meteoid has to be an app. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, the thing about trying to sell it is like, oh, look, Metroid,
really close.
Metroid parody. Like, I don't know.
Too.
I don't know to what extent.
I would worry that
parody
could.
Laws.
Yeah.
Would protect something like that. You know.
Name it something else.
Yeah, I would just hate to get sued by Nintendo.
I mean,
you know?
Well, I mean, just.
I mean, they don't
make the art different. Make the.
Yeah. They talk about how they don't want to go after really dedicated fans. Right, I mean, there was an article on Kotaku a little while ago about, you know, I don't know that I should necessarily be talking about this, but it's been years. Aaron from the Minibuses told me that. He had talked about talking to Nintendo's lawyers, and they were like, you know, we can't tell you that Nintendo is. We can't officially say to you Nintendo is not going to come after you for this, but. Just want you to know, we really like your music. You know, so it was like, kind of that kind of thing. And that attitude, I saw something on Kotaku talking about that. And I wonder if that would be the same thing. I mean, selling it is the weird thing, right? Like, if it was a dollar. You know, I wonder if a dungeon crawl...
Because I feel like they can't claim copyright on the dungeon crawl mechanic. So all we have to do is... You know, not use the picture of the bird statue and not call it Meteoid, right?
Well, yeah. But if it was something that I was just giving away, I could, you know, it's to me the thing. To me, Meteoid is cool because of the theming. I mean, the game is kind of boring.
Hmm.
I think. Like I don't know. I mean, maybe every game is boring for me. Like I don't want to play it. You know. I don't think I've ever played an entire game of Meteoid, and I don't think that I would enjoy doing it. It's like this is not new for me, you know. What I really like is playing with the dungeon generator. I can just sit and run that thing and just like, oh, sweet, cool level. Oh, sweet, cool level. Oh, sweet, look at this cool level. Like, I just do that over... I did, in fact, spend a lot of time. Well, you know, you and I, in Prague, just sat there reloading that dungeon level generator over and over again. Cool, cool. These are dungeons.
Instead of going out in the sand Prague, we made dungeon.
I made a dungeon where there never was a dungeon.
Yeah.
Actually, I made a thing that made a dungeon. That was the thing. I mean, maybe it's like the satisfaction that some people get from having kids. Hanging my kids' artwork on the refrigerator, that's the equivalent of watching the output of my dungeon generator. I didn't make that dungeon. I made the thing that made that dungeon. Yeah, that's what I think.
Huh.
It's my progeny. the dungeon generator. I love it like my son. Sorry, I'm having trouble finding questions. Fig Leaf says, "Hey, Jick, I just got the Quantum Egg for the first time. Love the game, by the way. Thought I'd mention the uncertainty principle relates momentum and position, not velocity and position. Carry on." If you're talking about a thing, I don't know that I necessarily believe that. Like, I understand that momentum and velocity are distinct concepts, right? That they mean different things, but they are effectively defined by one another. So, you know,
is momentum mass times velocity?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, like, I don't consider that to be wrong enough to fix. My imperfect understanding of physics is awesome, I think is what I was going to say. Fifth Element said, "What was the glitch with the Mad Hat Rack and Opera Mask that made ships punch each other?" That was kind of a misunderstanding.
That was really funny, though.
Yeah. I had thought Lycra said something about spaceships punching each other because of this bug, and she said it as though she were quoting from a bug report. And so I thought that's what the bug report said, and so I thought, oh, that'd be a funny joke for the guy that submitted the bug report, you know, and it, you know, it would just seem like some non sequitur nonsense that maybe somebody would think was funny for a normal player. And, no, turns out it was an in-joke for Lycra. That was it. You know, whatever.
For what it's worth, the pictures she was referring to did, in fact, look like there were spaceships that could punch each other.
Yeah. So what happened was, when we added the hat rack, it broke all kinds of shit, because there was a bunch of stuff that was like, whenever there was code that checked to see if you were wearing a hat, a particular hat, instead of, you know, looking at your player object and seeing what hat you were wearing, it just used this generic function that we had that looked at the equipment that was in your session and told you whether a given item was equipped. And the function was just the same no matter what the slot was. And once it became a thing where the same, like where hats could be in more than one equipment slot, we had to change that function so that we had specified ignore the familiar slot. So what was happening was, the code in the skills page would check to see if you had the opera mask on. If you did, it would add to the buff duration, set up a little message, and then destroy your hat. But what was happening was, it would check to see if you had the opera mask on. The equipped function saw it on the hat rack, said, yes, this player has the opera mask equipped. It would increase the spell duration, add the thing, and then destroy whatever hat you were wearing, or no hat. And so, it was kind of an infinite opera mask exploit, which is less of a big deal than the one guy who had his Hodgman's pork pie hat destroyed. Sorry, guy. Evil Raging Ely says, wait, no. Raging Ely says, please let us see whether we have the Murderbot device in our inventory in Space Trip. What Murderbot device? If there's something that you get that it doesn't tell you about, then that's probably a bug or something that I just forgot. Raging Ely, submit a bug report. Tell me which particular thing you're talking about, and I'll try and fix it. Evil Raging Ely says, in a choice adventure, can you put the number of the choice in the choice button? Sometimes you have buttons corresponding to the keys 1, 2, 4 because choice 3 is not valid. I don't want to put the numbers next to the button because we need to fix that lot.
Where it just collapses down to the first digits in the keyboard.
Yeah. Which I think that should be a fairly easy fix. I didn't write that code, and it's all JavaScript, which might as well be fucking sorcery for all of my ability to remember how to do anything with it from moment to moment.
Abracadabra dot document.
Adiabatic says, the snorkel's description has well comma vary in it with no space. Space, please. Yeah, I fixed that before the show. Yar says, a Doppel-like familiar Pokemon theme that only emulates familiars you have. At the beginning of combat, it could be like, familiar name, I choose you, and after every fight it returns and then tells you to collect them all.
We kind of already did the Pokemon joke.
I mean, a Doppelshifter that only turns into things that you already have eliminates a lot of the fun of a Doppelshifter.
No, it's also way sort of exploitable. Right?
Why?
Because you could just you would just make an account and only have like the handful of really good familiars that you want.
But if it was only, I mean, how is that exploitable? You could just be using those familiars.
Because I mean, if it's at all like the Doppelshifter, like there's all these hidden bonuses for Doppelshifters, like higher poundage and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right.
I don't know about that. ChefBob27 says, when Delicious Salad first came out, why was it untradeable and then made tradable? I don't know. Did we just Did we do that on purpose to fuck with people, or
not to fuck with them? We did it on purpose to. What was it? Didn't we have like leaderboards for Salad Collection or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then we were like, well, people will want to. People who weren't around for the one day event will want to be able to get some of this, and so.
Yeah, because it's really good salad. That's funny, salad. Betrayer says, there are many ways to donate now. Aside from just giving you guys a check or a wad of cash, which one actually has the least overhead for you guys? Well, it depends on what you mean by overhead.
I think I actually answered this question in the in the forums, and it's, you know, the method that gives us the most money directly is writing us a check.
Just mailing us
mailing,
a check, yeah.
Mailing it
but,
in.
I mean, the thing is, and then somebody, I posted in that thread today because somebody was like, oh, well, so I donate every month. Should I stop using PayPal and start mailing you guys checks? And I was like, I wouldn't. You know, because it just takes a lot longer for you to get.
Yeah, that's the
stuff.
The problem.
And I don't.
The value for the player is much higher for the instant.
Yeah, and I would never ask anyone to, like, all right, I want you to suffer some inconvenience so that we get, you know, an extra 30 cents.
Right.
You know? Like, and it's just, you know, it's not a big deal. It makes me happy that our player base cares about that.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes me happy, too.
I mean, because, like, I will always, like, I will use debit. I will run a card as debit instead of credit if I can, because I feel like the store gets more money that way. I'm spending the same amount of money, but I'll always, you know.
Is that true?
Like, I don't know. It might not be true anymore. It used to be.
So that they wouldn't be getting charged the.
The percentage.
The percentage rates?
Yeah.
Huh.
Blastodon says, Jick, your Michelada recipe, please. And then it says, ever heard of Maggi seasoning? I have heard of Maggi seasoning. I don't know that I've ever had it. Okay, so. Great Big Mug. Ice. Half a lime. Squeeze it into it and then just drop the whole thing in. Can of Tecate. And then some ground black pepper. Few squirts of Tapatio hot sauce, and then pour just maybe a couple ounces of Bloody Mary mix into it. I usually get the Tabasco brand Bloody Mary mix because I like it. And then I stir it up too because I don't like it'll eventually kind of homogenize, and then eventually the beer will float on top, but I usually stir it up when I want to drink it. Pretty good. Psychosis 730 says, Jesus, I started playing this game when I was 16 and in high school. On Friday, I turned 21. I'll also be graduating from college soon. Thanks for keeping me sane, guys. Well, I hope you don't drink yourself to death. Tomorrow. No. Friday.
I've heard a lot of tales about KOL sort of keeping people sane and happy, and also stories about KOL, like,
ruining people's lives.
Ruining friendships.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard a story about KOL ruining a friendship.
Yeah, people getting too into it, and, like, other people being, like...
Not really.
And getting really competitive about it and stuff like that.
I see.
Interesting. Interesting stories. Not as bad as, like, you know, World of Warcraft, but...
Thundergirl says, Hello, I only send this question to check how much time is a Radio Bugbear question's lifestyle. Ping.
Life cycle.
Yeah, lifestyle. I said something that wasn't a word at all. So that was the equivalent of handing somebody that little red plastic card in line at Disneyland.
What is that?
That's how they figure out how long the line is. They just give that they give a card to somebody and then they hand it to the guy at the front of the line. The guy at the front of the line takes it and
they know that it's been 10 minutes or 15.
You know, they've each got a button they press or something. Aristabula says, "Are you guys going to make extra Nemesis familiars cookable, a la the Gruegg? What about extra Spectre scepters, smashable? Useless clutter is useless." Yeah. You know, we don't exactly make a policy of making sure that stuff like that doesn't happen, but sometimes we'll address it on a case-by-case basis. I don't think making the extra familiars cookable is necessarily funny in it, because grues are evil, so it's okay to eat them. And fish, because they don't have any feelings.
Also, eggs are delicious.
Yeah, eggs are good.
Yeah.
And maybe it's an unfertilized grue egg. You never know. The champion says, what major piece of content, the next part of the sea, new clan dungeon, Batman, etc., do you guys currently have planned to roll out next? I'm guessing the sea will be the next big thing.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, although I do consider the tavern revamp like a big thing.
No, I don't really.
I mean there's going to be new content in there.
Yeah, there's going to be a significant amount of new content in it, but it's not like, it is not a big thing the way another Hobopolis would be,
right.
You know? police. Arrest this man. Dator Sojat says, why can't we turn in our war loot to the bases all at once?
I don't know.
I really don't know. Mariuk says, what's the deal with airline food? Yeah, I know, right? I've not found food on planes to actually be that bad, honestly.
Nah, it's alright. It's too expensive.
I don't tend to buy food on airlines.
Yeah.
Jetopian says, when do we get to Jack Plummer ass? I don't know. The James 54321 says, why did I get an adventure with invisible spooky stick written at the bottom? It's because you can has cheeseburger.
Right.
Dev Joe says, did you see the cosplaying anti-protest in response to Fred Phelps? Nah, Pez said he saw it out there. I saw pictures of a lot of the signs. I think at Wootstock they were showing pictures of a lot of the dudes with the signs, like some Flickr set from that protest. I don't know how I feel about that. You know, like, it was funny, the signs were clever. I like the idea of a big crowd of people chanting, what do we want? Gay sex. When do we want it? Now. Although, no subversion of that formula is funnier than, what do we want? Brains. When do we want them? Brains. So that joke is pretty much, like, done now because of that. But, you know, those guys were clever or whatever, but it's like, haha, look at these people who have no support in the culture at large with their God hates fag signs. But, you know, we already knew that they had no support in the culture at large. Like, almost everyone disavows those people, and in a way, I think that protest was just sort of feeding the trolls.
Yeah. Huh.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's weird to be around and, like, it's weird to be in places where it's like, you can't tell if somebody is V for Vendetta cosplaying or a 4chan guy.
Anonymous.
Yeah. So it's... KennyMan666 says, so how about making the adorable seal larva not be counterintuitive and not ruin Mother Hell Seal drops? I don't know why that seems counterintuitive. I feel like another
because
attacking...
You get the familiar... earlier in the quest. And
okay.
The first thing you're going to do is equip it. And
okay.
It.
I mean, but I don't know why that's...
But I mean...
I don't know why I feel like white people...
If you got a sword in the cave and equipped it...
Yeah, like, why...
I think you would also be confused.
Why is that one counterintuitive, but every other familiar that doesn't do damage...
I think it is the proximity.
I'm not saying that it isn't counterintuitive. I'm trying to understand why... It's counterintuitive.
I think people are inclined to believe that stuff that they get earlier in a quest is useful.
Or at least safe.
Yeah.
I guess. That's maybe the thing. Like, if that was a puzzle that required the use of another familiar, you know, but it's, yeah. I guess it is a little weird that it's like you're getting stuff earlier in a quest.
People keep asking about it, too.
Yeah.
You know.
It's clearly a thing that's, like, triggering something in people. Yeah. I think... I think that all we would have to do...
You had talked about just not making it attack.
Yeah, just making it not attack if you're fighting a seal.
Yeah, every seal has a unique...
Just like every cowboy has a sad, sad song, every seal has a unique identifier.
I think just make it not trigger if the monster has the string S-E-A-L.
Yeah, like a present sealing elf.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I think that'd be a funny Easter egg.
There are seals that are not... That don't have that though.
Like that, the misspelled weasel.
Yeah, but they're none of the only seals that's important for it to not attack.
Well, okay, but narratively, why is it not attacking them? Because they have seal in their name.
Yes.
No. No.
Maybe it doesn't recognize the ones that.
Alright,
anyway.
It's literate, but not...
Testudinata says, could you perhaps add the recipe scrumdiddlyumptious solution plus herbs equals spices? Sorcerers currently have a harder time getting spices than pastamancers, which is a tad ironic, I think, since sorcerers start with spices. I really sort of don't like the fact that sorcerers start with spices. I think it's weird that we ended up making it so two of the classes start with just this weird reusable combat items. You know? Like, I would just not do that now, especially since they start with... combat skills.
Right.
It was the fact that they started with those things that didn't necessarily make sense as weapons.
Right.
I think it's okay for them to be reusable combat items, but I don't like the way that the spices are also a cooking ingredient.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd be okay with the toot giving you a care package with some spices in it when you did the tutorial or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think if we took away those starting spices from saucers, that people would get pissed off about not getting it at the beginning of a run.
Yeah.
Right. But, I don't know. I don't know that adding that recipe that you're discussing is the right way to approach it. Ranger Bill says, Dear Jick et al., with the growth of the game, with the huge amount of zones, familiars, limited time content, etc., do you worry that this might scare away newer players? A little bit.
No.
I hope. I've been thinking a lot about the early game lately, and maybe trying to figure out ways to...
Just throw it all away.
Yeah, throw it all away.
Yeah.
Just meet out the stuff. I think... that the game is especially daunting if you play for a while, get a good understanding of it, and then go away for a while, and then come back in and think, God, what the fuck is all this new stuff, and what I don't remember what all this old stuff does. I think it is more daunting to somebody like that than it is for an actual new player, because I think that the game does not seem as complicated to a new player as it does to somebody who's been exploring for 6 months.
And then
right
away.
Huh?
And then goes away, or just...
Or anything, just okay. In general. I mean... Pefor1Q says, Over the past couple years, I've really enjoyed the changes that have been made to gameplay. Every change has proponents on both sides. How do you decide which proposed changes to implement? I make something up, basically. You know, whatever we're enthusiastic about, whatever we feel like is something that needs to be addressed.
We argue about a lot of stuff.
We do argue about a lot of stuff. We discuss a lot of things in dev. We sigh wistfully about how the things that we can't change. We ask the Lord to grant us the strength to change the things we can, the patience to deal with the things we can't, and the
and a submachine gun to kill everything else.
And a giant bag of money. That's right. Old man says, How often does Jick get recognized in public? Once.
Yeah?
Yes, exactly once.
Do you want to relate the story?
I wasn't really in public. No, it was Aaron from the Minibosses who was like, Hey, are you Jick from Kingdom of Loathing? Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm Aaron from the Minibosses. Fucking weird. Like, we had a bunch of friends in common, but the way that we met was he recognized me from seeing, like, a picture of me from PAX or something.
Huh.
That's weird.
That really unflattering picture?
Oh, probably.
Cool. Yeah.
That really unflattering documentary. I'm a fat dude, I got man boobs. I'm a fat dude, I got man boobs. I'm a fat dude, I got man boobs. I got man boobs, I got man boobs. That's my song that I made up. I kind of want to play that snowboarding game again so that I can hear that original song. Because I don't know who it was.
Talking about.
I got mad skills, I will get wild. Which I don't know what... I could probably just search for those lyrics and then I could hear that song. But I like my version better. Stupak2 says, When you get into quantum mechanics, momentum is really quite different from velocity and in a way that's not really just mass times velocity. Man...
Yeah, you're getting all
when you get
physics.
When you get into college, you apparently turn into an insufferable prick.
I'm really tired of scientists lying to us. Or teachers, I guess, not scientists. Teachers lying to us all of our lives.
Hafornthrees says, Thanks for a great game. Also, that inactive mail, pure awesome. We're getting a significant amount of, like, really good feedback about that, because Scully is fucking clever.
Yeah.
Like, that was just a super, super clever way to approach that, yeah. I think.
He did good.
Mr. Mistopheles says, I thought you made salads tradable so newer players could get the tattoo. Was there a tattoo?
I forgot about the tattoo.
Okay.
That would be it.
All right,
cool. I knew there was something about him that, like, we knew people would want after the event, and that was what it was all about.
Roman God is really enthusiastically asking for a slime hates at chef staff. Still got to figure out, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm totally okay with doing it. I just don't, now I don't remember how any of that shit works.
Fred Levi says, Your rant about standby modes seems to ignore the obvious fact that a device cannot be turned on by remote control if it isn't actively waiting to receive a signal in some form. I think that's not true. I think that there would be some like RFID tags, for example,
yeah,
are passive devices that get power,
right?
Right, through radio waves, right? So there's got to be there's got to be some way to, like,
I feel like if you had a hair trigger relay and just, you know, because there's an IR sensor, right? So you're getting some power in the form of infrared light from the remote. So I feel like if you had, like, a hair trigger relay to turn it on that was just connected to the sensor on the front of the TV.
And then, B, you don't need to have a fucking light on when it is even if that is true, which may, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not... I'm
having a fucking red light to tell you that your television is off is fucking ridiculous, yes. And I don't understand why anyone ever thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Because it just makes things confusing for cantankerous old men like me, just slowly turning into fucking Luddite.
All you are distinguishing between is the state between when it is off and unplugged, right? Like, that's all it is? Like, is there some...
You know how we could tell that back in my day? Look to see if it's plugged in.
Right. Like, I just don't understand. Like, how often are you unplugging your TV or whatever? Like, why? Why are you doing that?
If you had a short in the cable, that would tell you.
Short to plug in.
How often
wall?
Is that the problem with your television? Yeah.
Like, rarely.
I think it is a bad interface design, regardless of what's what physically may or may not be possible. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I see your point, right? There has to be something listening for remote control.
I think if that is true, I feel like there's some money to be made for somebody to figure out a way in which that you can defeat that, right? Because that just drains power. Like, that is just something that we could universally save energy, which equals money.
Just step it up to a sub-device, have a smaller, less power-consuming device that will sit and listen for the remote control signal, and when it receives it,
a little finger comes out of it and hits
little
the power
lid opens
on the
and
television.
A little turns it on.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, or you could just walk over and turn the TV on.
Yep.
I always the only time I ever turn my television on is if I want to play a console game, and the only way that I can ever play a console game is by walking over there, digging through shit to figure out which fucking controller is for which console, like, figure out what series of shit I have to hold down to get whatever bullshit to turn on, figure out whether the thing is fucking on or not, which
find,
is not,
find
like...
Find the disc to put in.
Yeah, find the disc to put in.
Your old man
wait for a goddamn software update to go, at which point the batteries in the fucking controller will be dead. So yeah, I'm always over there. I always have to make like 5 or 6 fucking trips across the room anyway, so you know what? Maybe I don't even need a remote control anymore. Just some confusing 9 million button bullshit anyway.
I really don't like having to figure out which buttons on the Xbox controller are fast forward or rewind or whatever. Like, that drives me crazy.
Every time I go on one of these jags about, you know, the interfaces of stuff like microwaves and... Jesus Christ, the dryer and the washer in this apartment are fucking retarded. We'll have to get into that on another show. Because we're late. And I gotta let you guys listen to some brand tags. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, have a good weekend. See, that's my Thursday tagline, and it's totally the beginning of the week.
Had a good weekend.
Yeah, had a good weekend, everybody.
Bye.